Today is a fairly significant day in the context of what we have been speaking about in a series that we've been looking at in the book of Exodus, or anchoring ourselves in the book of Exodus. And what we wanted to do today, as Tam mentioned, is actually a part of today's Sunday gathering. We allocate 75 minutes for the so-called formalities of co-church when we gather on a Sunday. We start our church service at 9 a.m. and we aim as best as possible to finish at 10:15 a.m. So as a part of today's service, it's not an extra, it's not outside of it, it is very much central, and as a part of it, she mentioned that we want to eat together. I am not going to make the bold claim that today is going to be a feast, because I think we can work our way to there, but it's just going to be a nice get together with some great food. Thank you so much to Cairns and Tam and everyone else who helped prepare that as well. But we want to set in motion for us as a community some annual traditions. We're trying to form and establish rhythms in who we are as a community. Rhythms are so important, and we're going to focus in over time what that looks like individually. But for now, we're trying to set in motion that collective communal rhythm for us. This is one of those rhythms that we can come back to, that we can highlight, that we can build upon, and one day we could say Co-Church is hosting the greatest festival on the North Coast, and so come and be a part of it. So this is the beginning of that. I mean, you're a part of history. It's amazing. You can say, I was there when I had a muffin at Co-Church, and look at what we are in 10 years' time. This is unbelievable. So I want to start by reading Exodus 23, and I'm going to go strong and fast so that we can get out there and eat and have a good time with each other. Exodus chapter 23, this is God speaking to the early people of God. Three times a year, you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, or the Passover. Celebrate the festival of harvest, or the festival of weeks, or the festival of Pentecost. And thirdly, celebrate the festival of ingathering, or the festival of tabernacles, or the festival known as Sukkot. And that is what we are bringing attention to today. And I was fascinated with the festivals and feasts of the people of God. I was fascinated because I am trying to find a rhythm for myself, then thinking about the rhythms that we can create within us as a community. And it's amazing how God set these things before his people, which really brought about a phenomenal, healthy rhythm. And so I'm looking at this passage of scripture and thinking, what can we learn? What can we glean? I am not trying to put something legalistic upon us. This is not going to be something that is written in stone. We're just going to learn, listen, look, and see what God might do in our midst because of the focus that we have on this. Sukkot is about remembering, and it's about celebrating. It is remembering the temporary nature of the journey. So if we look at it as a metaphor as to the exodus of God's people, where they were brought from a place of oppression into a place of liberty, which is what the salvation story is, through Christ. We were living oppressed by the state of sin, and through the finished work of the cross, we are now brought into liberty, wide open spaces of God's grace. But we are on a journey. There are some words that are used in the context of Christendom. One is justification. Through Jesus, we are justified, made right, made righteous in his eyes, but we are also being sanctified. And what that means is that we are changed and changing still. And so we are on a journey. And so what it is highlighting is that the journey that we are on right now has a temporary nature to it. This time will fade. This time will come to an end. This season will finish, and we enter into a new season, a new promise in the light of eternity in God's good grace. It's about remembering God being present with his people. It is about remembering that on the journey, God cares for his people. And the instruction was to remember and to recall by way of celebrating. I mentioned to you right at the beginning of the series, we happened to find ourselves in Jerusalem at this time 4 years ago. And let me tell you, it was not solemn. It was not pensive. It was not pulled back. It was raucous, loud, celebratory, joyous. Of all the festivals, this is the one that is to be highlighted in celebration. And it's celebrating the goodness of God. And it's celebrating God being with us. So I want to just highlight a couple of those things, and then we're going to go eat. You will see another card on your seats. It's a blank card, okay? This is what I'm going to ask you to do. Before we go out and enjoy some food together and have some meaningful conversations, we're going to have a moment again to lift our voice in song and singing and adoration of Jesus. And then I want to speak a blessing, a grace, if I could say it like that, over our time together while we eat. But I want there to be a little moment, and this is something that I want to introduce into our gatherings on a weekly basis. I want us to take a moment to write down and express our thankfulness or gratitude to God. And it could be for anything. I just want you to exercise that bringing into focus the goodness of God, whether it be in the tiniest of details or in the most significant of things. There's like a fly just aiming for me. Just came in like a missile. You know, there's something powerful in gratitude, and we're going to focus a little bit on gratitude over the month of November. I think that's a good time for us to do so. But we're going to do that today, okay? So even if you want to start doing that now, in that time of worship, you can do that. But I'm going to ask you to fill that in. And while we are singing again, just before we go out, I just want you to come put it down on the stage. And if you would prefer to, keep it anonymous. This is not about us knowing exactly, but I just want to read out some of them. I just want to share with us. And that's what I want to introduce into our gatherings. I want us to come to church and have a moment where we bring into focus the goodness of God and share, encourage, highlight what we are grateful and giving praises to God too, okay? So remember, this is about remembering. It's about remembering the temporary nature of life. It's about remembering God being present with his people. And it is about celebrating that God cares. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it speaks of the trials and the challenge of this life. Paul says it like this: we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. And then he goes on to finish it by saying it like this: so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, because what is seen is temporary. We focus rather on what is unseen, because that is eternal. We live by faith and not by sight. And that is the temporary nature of the life in which we live. Circumstance, situations, they occur. We do not deny them. We do not put our head in the sand and pretend like they don't exist. But we keep our eyes fixed on the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. His name is Jesus. We remember that God tabernacled himself with his people. There was a structure that was created that might be a catalyst or a means by which God would presence himself with his people. The beauty of that tabernacle was that it was different to the temple, because the tabernacle could be packed up and moved with his people. Whereas the temple, which only came about through the desire of David, became the structure by which people would go to. The Exodus story depicts the account of God moving with his people, going before, being after, but being with through every step of the journey. God tabernacled himself. Jesus who is God, Emmanuel, God with us. I love it how Eugene Peterson in the Message says it of John chapter 1, the Word was first, the Word present to God, God present to the Word was God. And then it goes on to say this, everything was created by Him and through Him. Nothing was created without Him. He highlights it by saying, and the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. I love that thought. That God Himself moved into the neighborhood with us. Curse you, fly. You know the thing about that God tabernacling? Is that even a word? Tabernacling. What a word. It sounds like a country and western song. But God tabernacled Himself with His people. He presenced Himself and the people were led by His presence. Spirit-led people. When God moved, they moved. When God stopped, they stopped. There was this cloud. There was this fire. There was this presence and Spirit of God that moved, that led the people. Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing that we became more and more Spirit-led people, awake to our life, fully immersed in what God has for us, following, listening, loving by Him and by His Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor your God with your bodies. We are the temple of God's Spirit. And therefore, God's Spirit is with us and in us. Are we tuning in? Are we being led? And finally, I want to read this from Nehemiah. And then we're going to sing. I want you to write down what you're thankful for and come drop it on the stage. We'll speak some grace, and then we've got some food. Nehemiah chapter 8. And, you know, when you start to look into these sorts of things and get context, and can I implore you, and I'll put my hand up to say, for a while, I looked at the Bible as being something that was obligationary, and there were so many things in there that I didn't quite understand, and so I didn't take responsibility to look more into it. But just let me tell you from personal experience that the Word of God is living and breathing. It is active. By God's Spirit, there is an illumination that takes place. And when you start to look into things and get context and understanding, it is phenomenal. Nehemiah chapter 8 is incredible because what we would find in the book of Exodus, as God is with His people, they were in an oppressed state. They were foreigners in a foreign land. Now God is reforming and reshaping something with them. History takes place. The Babylonian Empire comes in, and again, Jerusalem, the temple is being destroyed. The people of God had found themselves for a generation exiled in Babylon. Nehemiah chapter 8 now finds them coming back to that holy place, back to Jerusalem, and a rebuilding is taking place. You will be known as rebuilders and restorers of what that was broken. So Nehemiah finds himself in a situation, or the book of Nehemiah finds himself in a situation where there is a rebuilding and a restoring taking place. And Nehemiah chapter 8 is also at this time they were celebrating the festival of Sukkot. Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest, this is verse 9 of Nehemiah 8. And the Levites were instructing the people and said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn, do not weep. Now they were weeping and they were mourning. Interestingly enough, they were weeping and mourning because of the truth that was coming at them from God's word. If you read prior, the prophets were actually teaching God's word, and it was so penetrating, it was so impacting that they were finding themselves in a state of repentance or a state of grief. But He is saying to them, do not mourn, do not grieve. This is a day to celebrate. And Verse 10. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send something to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The whole company that had returned from exile built temporary shelters. That's how we know they were celebrating again, Sukkot. And their joy was very great. Don't grieve. Don't weep. And I'm not suggesting to you that what you are navigating is not grief-worthy. But just for a moment, as we are gathered as God's people, as we remember that this is temporary, what we are going through, what we are in, that God's presence is with us and in us and God cares. May today be a day of celebration and of joy, of meaningful conversation and of fellowship.